In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Yeah. Joyous Lord's Day to everybody. Welcome to church. What number was in the gospel today? 18. That's interesting. Remember, whenever we hear the gospel, or read, especially the gospels, when we hear a number, we need to really pay attention. Because that means something. That adds some texture, some depth to the gospel, and he's teaching us something. So Luke included that for a reason. We know that my patron saint, Peter, denied Christ three times, right? And in tradition, three meant with certainty. So it wasn't until he was saying basically, absolutely, without question, I do not know this man, I do not know this man, and then he cursed and said, I do not know this man. And that third time, he was sealing the deal and saying with absolute certainty, he did not know Christ. He completely apostatized, he completely separated himself from Christ. And so the number three in Scripture, and then we have the number six in Scripture. This is very interesting too. The number six in Scripture often represents incompleteness. It's not completed yet. Seven represents the fullness, and eight represents eternity, which is why we have eight tones in the church, just so you know. Sunday's the seventh, the first day and the eighth day. It's eternity. And so, like on the sixth day of creation, even in Genesis, they're saying it wasn't done yet. He rested on the seventh day, but creation wasn't done on the sixth day. There were 6 days of creation, but the sixth one wasn't complete. And so when we look at the number 18, it's 3 times 6. That's on purpose. That's not an accident. It's a well-known fact. 3 times 6, 666, means complete bondage, repression, judgment, or complete and absolute corruption, incompleteness. So imagine this woman in the gospel today who has been over for 18 years was completely and totally unable to heal herself. No one could heal her. She was absolutely held by the bondage of sin and death, bent over, weighed down by sin. She was like a flower that cannot see the source of life, the sun. Imagine a flower bent over, unable to see the sun. It's like this woman. All that she could see in her life was that which was perishing, that which was passing away. It was all she could see was the earth. Imagine being unable to look up to the heavens and see God. And I really debated on whether or not we should talk about Plato's allegory of the cave today. But I'm not going to, even though I just did. And when we think about this poor woman who's bent over, weighed down by the fact that she was incomplete, she did not have everything she lacked, she was completely, totally held in bondage. And I think, of course, in Judges, where the Israelites were under bondage to the Philistines for 18 years, they were completely under bondage by the Philistines for 18 years. And so she was held under this bondage by her incompleteness. She was bent down because she could not do the very thing she needed to do to find life. And as I'm saying all this, I sure hope everyone here, including myself, is thinking, man, that sounds a lot like me. Because this woman is just like all of us here today. We are weighed down by the cares of this life. We worry about, take your pick. It's like a cafeteria. Take your pick. What would you like to worry about today? Politics? We got some of that. What about family? Oh, we got a ton of that. What about finances? Oh, we have three different flavors of that. We got sweet and sour, Szechuan, you know. We worry about the future. What about tomorrow? What do I have to do tomorrow? What about this thing I have to do? This place I have to go? I'm being weighed down by cares of this life. And then we remember the words of St. Ambrose, nothing burdens the mind more than concern for the world and the lust for either wealth or power. And so we are weighed down, our eyes forced to stare at the ground, unable to see the light of God and face heaven. And so because of this, what do we often see but darkness? And Christ says, if the eyes light, then the person will be full of light. But if the eyes dark, then you're full of darkness. And so if all we can see is darkness, and that's all we have, that's all we are, is darkness and death and incompleteness and suffering and misery. This is because we, like that woman today in the parable, are absolutely incomplete. Absolutely, totally, verifiably certified USDA incomplete. There's something that we lack, and I know everyone here knows that. Everyone here knows you lack something in your life. There's a hole inside of you. There's a hunger. There's a thirst. And you keep throwing stuff at it through your entire life, friendship, money, whatever, and it doesn't fill the hole. It's like you're throwing things in this hole, and you're still empty, and you're still empty, and you're still empty, and you're still incomplete. Because nothing in this world can fill that hole. Nothing in this world can raise us up straight to see heaven. Except Jesus Christ. You're going to hear that a lot in my sermons, by the way. Jesus Christ is the answer. I don't know if I shared this with y'all, but after seminary, my nephew came to me and he's like, "Uncle, what did you learn at 3 years of seminary?" And I said, I only learned one thing. Two things. Be at chapel on time. And number two, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're going through, turn to Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Because Christ comes to us today, just as he did to that poor woman. He is here with us today. We say Christ is in our midst because in the gathering of the faithful, there we are. We're two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in their midst. He's here today, and he comes to us as he did to them so many years ago, and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take on my yoke, for it is light." He comes to free us from the burdens heaped upon us, the burdens that the world keeps handing to us. You know, I think about that comedic sketch where the person standing there and his friend hands him a box and keeps handing him boxes, and next thing you know, you can't see the guy anymore, just holding boxes. That's like us with the cares of this life. We're so weighed down that it's almost impossible for us to lift our eyes to heaven, and more importantly, to see eternal life, which is right now. By the way, when we talk about eternity, it's right now. It's not to come, because there's no beginning to eternity. It's always been. And it always is. It's here with us today. Can you see it? Can you enter into that eternal life right now? Well, of course we can't. We're like that woman. We're bent down. But Christ comes to us, and he lifts us up, and he completes that in us which was missing. And make no mistake, the Pharisees, in their blindness, in their short-sightedness, missed what the Sabbath was all about. It was not about having a day off so you don't have to mow the lawn, so you can sit around and watch sports or the news or whatever your thing is. It was him resting in the grave, completing creation. That woman was not complete. And you'll notice he healed her on the Sabbath because he was saying, "I have come to complete that which I began at the beginning of time." The Sabbath was me resting and completing that. And that is why, my friends, as Christ hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished. I have completed creation." And he goes into the grave. And in his Sabbath, as he rests in the ground on the Sabbath, he heals all of us here. He heals all of us in his great and holy Sabbath in the tomb. Creation was incomplete on the sixth day, but on the seventh day, he completed the creation in the tomb, and it was, in fact, finished. It's great stuff, isn't it? But what does that mean to us here today? My friends, you're going to get tired of hearing this, but this is a fact of the spiritual, of life. I don't always call it spiritual life, just of life, right? Just of life. It's a fact. To live a good life, it'll take struggle. If you want to live a low-cost, low-budget, cheapo, throwaway, toner cartridge-type life, then just coast. Just coast through life. But you have to struggle. Our call is simple and yet very difficult. We are bent over today, held in complete captivity and oppression to sin and death. But if we, like that woman, allow Christ to come and heal us, he will come to us and free us from the tyranny of sin and death. And it will complete all in us that is lacking. That hole you have, that's for Christ. That's his throne. It was made for him from the moment you were conceived in the womb, and it sits there waiting for him to rest upon it as your Lord and your God. He comes to us and fills us and makes us what we are to be, what we are created to be. And, you know, we often say when someone makes a mistake, "Oh, they're just being human." No, they're not. They're not being human. That's the problem. Christ is human. I am almost human. And through him, I become human. I become a real, authentic human being, made both in the image and becoming the likeness of God. And this movement towards God, this raising of our gaze, this movement out of the cave, so to speak, there I go, it's an ongoing thing. It's not a one and done thing. You don't just get, you know, I'm not speaking to the people who just baptized, but forgive me. We've all, most of us have been baptized here. It's not like you get baptized and you're done. That's just the beginning. That's the beginning of the struggle. To intentionally, to live an intentional life where you're intentionally turning your eyes to God and intentionally crying out to him every moment of the day. Beginning with your morning prayers, throughout the day, and the evening prayers before you go to sleep. Calling out to him, ongoing, daily, moment by moment. We make the choice to work with Christ to redirect our gaze from earth, which is perishing, to heaven and the eternal kingdom of God. This is the beautiful thing about it. He's calling us to work with him. We live in his kingdom. What do people in the kingdom do but they do what the king's doing? What does the body do except what the head's doing? And so we're all called here today to participate in that saving work. First and foremost for ourselves. And my friends, this is the most beautiful thing in the world. We say that Jesus Christ had come to save the world and you are to help save the world too. Starting with your own life. Take the plank out of your own eye so that you might see to help your neighbor. And so as we go through the divine service today, be encouraged to lift your eye up to heaven, to open your heart to the Spirit of God so that he might encourage you and guide you and save you and bring you into his kingdom, and not just you, but everyone around you. May God bless us in this endeavor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.